Hello, and we're so glad that you are back with us at Cultivating Hearts. And, you know, we just were taking a few minutes here to do some remembering about someone that's very dear to many in Omaha, and I'm sure across the nation.
Actually, my seminary, too.
Yeah. Dr. Calvin Miller passed. What day was it, Tara?
Sunday. What is today? We're recording on the 22nd, so.
Whatever the Sunday was, and we just want to send out blessings and comfort to all of his dear friends and family, that they find the comfort that only God can provide at this difficult time. But we know he's in a better place, and we just look forward to meeting him again.
One of the things that I love about Pastor Calvin was the fact that he always proclaim the name of the Lord. Everything he did, his stories, whether it was a children's story, a poem, or his writing, his paintings, everything he did it for the purpose of proclaiming the Lord. That was his purpose and goal. And today, as we go into this session, we're going to look at how important do you think it is to proclaim the name of the Lord? Why is it so important? Why were they told in
because
this memorial?
He's God. I mean, he is the Alpha, the Omega. He's the creator of all.
Yahweh.
He's lots of names, huh?
Yes, he is. There's many names, you know. I was just telling him that I was studying the book by Ann Spangler, Praying the Names of God. And this week happened to be Yahweh. And Yahweh with all capitals, L-O-R-D. And it's in the New Testament, I think I read 6,800 times or more. That's a lot of times for his name to be. So now I do recognize whether it's the capital or not, and I think of Yahweh then. You know, Yahweh is such a loving God, and she continued to go on and talk about Psalm 103. And I think, Tara, you talked about Psalm 103. And they were talking about how the psalmist describes God: forgiving, healing, redeeming, compassionate, delighting to bless you, working on behalf of the oppressed, slow to anger, gracious, loving. You know, and as we go before him, we need to get on our knees and just praise him, give him all the glory for everything in our life.
You know, remembrance helps us. It strengthens us. We've been talking about that. And in past studies, I don't know if it's been in a study that Shelley's been in. I know you've heard me teach on this. But if we take the time, the two things that the enemy of God attacks is the character and the word of God. And so by reflecting upon the name of God, which is his character, and then what he has done through his word, that causes the enemy to leave us. It causes the enemy to depart. The enemy cannot stand where the name of the Lord our God stands. His name is powerful. And so when his name is proclaimed, we are identifying with the character represented and the action represented. So when I pray, I make sure that I am praying through what I know about God and his character and what he has done. And it is such a powerful tool by taking the time to proclaim his name. So as we have a circumstance in that recently I had a friend in the hospital dying of cancer. And when I went into the hospital to see her on the day that she was to pass, she was unconscious as far as we were concerned. But I was told by my friend Jill as we were walking in that she was told that hearing's the last thing to go. And so I went up to my friend Shelley, and I was able to hold her hand and pet her arm. And then I began to pray for her everything I know about God and who he is. And I kind of began with what I remember from Genesis and all the way through to where I ended up, where I was talking about heaven and that it was okay for her to go and be with him because she would be able to stand on the sea of glass before his throne and see the rainbow of light of every kind of precious jewel that we could even begin to imagine, and to worship him in the place that she's called to worship him. And, you know, I have no idea if she actually heard, you know, because she ended up passing a few hours later. But I was so comforted when I left, having taken the time to reflect on who God is and what God has done and the power of his name that I left comforted as the one still on this earth. Well, then a couple of days later at her funeral, I didn't know, but my friend Rick, her husband, wanted me to say a prayer, and Pastor Mike invited me up to do a prayer. And God just put on my heart, just pray like you did with Shelley. Mm-hmm. So at her funeral, I was able to pray through his name, his character, and what he has done in bringing us to heaven if we know him and have his son. And when I went back to my seat, my phone was buzzing. I had it on vibrate, and I'm thinking, I'm at a funeral. I was so embarrassed, and I felt like it was so loud. After the funeral, I was able to go and listen, and my friend Sabrina, who was on the radio with us before, called me from Iowa, and she had a friend that she loves very much that was in the hospital that was an unbeliever that was just notified she's dying of cancer, and she doesn't have much time. Mm. Would I go to the hospital and share Jesus with her? And when I went to the hospital, I'm thinking, Lord, I have no relationship. I have no idea about their history. I vaguely know a little background, and they come from different backgrounds. One of them was Jewish and one of them was Catholic. And so even within their marriage, they're a blend. And here I'm coming in as an evangelical Christian. I have no idea what the reception will be of me even entering into a stranger's hospital room who's on her deathbed, okay? And begging God, what do I do? And he very kindly reminded me to talk through what I know about his character and what he has done, and then to reveal to her about heaven and what he has planned for those who believe in his son. So I went in and I'm like, you know, this is who I am. You must really be loved. Because I got a call, and I was actually at a funeral and explained the situation there, and then said, do I have your permission to talk? Can I tell you what I know about Jesus? And they said yes. And so as an entire family of blended people sat and listened, I was able to story through who God is and what he's done and what he intends to do for us with heaven. And when I was done, I was able to ask, have you ever proclaimed him or believed in him? And this young woman blurted out, yes. And I believe it was probably for the first time verbally she had ever said it out loud. I was able to ask her to share with me about it, and she was able to tell me her story. And then was able then to do the same thing with a mother.
Wow.
And I believe the reason why, and it is so hard for me not to cry because, y'all, I cannot even begin to tell you what that week, much less that day, was like, and the feeling of inadequacy, and that I don't have the ability. It is so outside of my box of who I am. But see, the thing is it has nothing to do with us. Mm-hmm. It has to do with the power of God's word and the power of being able to see and know what he has done so that somebody can come to the place of worship. And that's what he gave them in Joshua 4 as the challenge of why they needed to remember. I want us to go back and read Joshua 4, verses 23 through 24. And Shelley, if you have that, would you go ahead and read those two verses for us?
Absolutely. Okay. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan just what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God.
To see his work, to know his power, and to worship him in awe. That's why we want to proclaim the name of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Because by proclaiming it, we are opening the door of opportunity for that person to see, and opening the door of opportunity for them to know. And then with the hopes that that which comes into the mind will move to the heart and become a position of worship, which will then eventually lead to the hands and the feet of acting upon it. That is the prayer of why we want to proclaim the name of the Lord. And I thought, as I was preparing this, you know, and it's that story, that situation just happened to me just a matter of weeks ago. I wrote this years ago. And it's like, God, why is it that sometimes when I'm teaching something, even though it's something I wrote years ago, you allow me to walk in a situation where I'm having to live out mm-hmm. what I'm about to walk through. And so I had written out, and it's funny because Sandy's living it out and reading the names of God and what she's doing for her devotional, the importance of proclaiming his name. And I thought, well, are there examples of this happening in Scripture? And so I just did a search, and just I'm going to give you just a few just to hear for a second. In Exodus 9:16, this is where they have the plague of hail, and Moses says, "But I have raised you up for this." He's telling this to Moses for this very purpose, that I might show my power and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. Okay, and in Deuteronomy 28:10, it says, "All the peoples on the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord your God, and they will fear you." 1 Kings 8:42-43, "For men will hear of your great name and your mighty hand and your outstretched arm when he comes and prays toward this temple, and then hear from heaven your dwelling place, and that whatever the foreigner asks of you, so that all the peoples of all the earth may know your name and fear you as you do your own people Israel, and may know that this is the house, and I have built it, and it bears your name." In 2 Kings 5:15, it says, "Now I know that there is no God in all the world except Israel. Please accept now a gift from your servant," and that's Naaman speaking. And then in 2 Kings 19:19, Hezekiah's prayer, "Now, O Lord our God, deliver us from his hand so that all the kingdoms on earth may know that you alone, O Lord our God." And then Psalm 106:8, "Yet he saved them for his name's sake, to make his mighty power known." What do you think?
You know, what keeps coming to my mind is just how close remembering and worshiping are really tied in together. I mean, I just keep going through all these songs, you know, especially in just like the community when we're worshiping, you know, at service. And just, I mean, just how, you know, it's not just the words that we're saying and how much meaning there really is behind those words. And remembering what it is and what they mean.
Mm-hmm. You can say the words without remembering what they, right.
Yeah, I mean, but you can really like think about, it's how one thing that, to, you know, to worship mm-hmm. and say them, but to
own them.
Own them. Yep, that's right.
Yeah, that's all that's like, I'm like, all these songs. Not that I'm going to start singing, but like in my head, I'm breaking out in song.
Mm-hmm. Sabrina would if she was here.
But I'm not Sabrina.
I'm not either, Shelly. We will save your ears on that one. Okay.
Thank you. But yeah, it's just like, and you know, to be able to worship, not just with our
mouths
or our minds, but, you know, with our whole bodies, mm-hmm. to open them up and to allow, you know, his blessings to pour on you, and that, you know, you're giving back. It's the relate. It goes into the relationship. And you know, I was actually reading some stuff off of it was a daily reading that Joyce Myers does, and just how much there's one. It just reminds me of how much that God just loves to hear from us and to be worshiped. Mm-hmm. And that's where our prayers, you know, really start, is mm-hmm. they start with worship.
They do. And the power of proclaiming his name.
Mm-hmm. That word comes up over and over, and power.
Yes. In power and proclaiming his name.
You know, in Jesus' name, in mm-hmm. Jesus, you know.
And that's where the prayer needs to be. It's to the Father in Jesus' mm-hmm. name.
Right.
And not to, I'm not intending to be legalistic or anything, but I always cringe when a prayer just ends, amen.
Mm-hmm.
Because the power is in Jesus' mm-hmm. name. It's not in the amen. And so ever since I have read that it's to be prayed in Jesus' name, I work very hard mm-hmm, to make sure I have that. I don't, in judgment of anybody, it's just, but for me, it has become, that is a defining thing I need to have to make it complete and whole.
Well, and that's why we have Jesus.
Right, that's right.
Right.
I mean, he was the purpose.
Mm-hmm. That's why we do it, because we remember what he did for us.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, he loved us first.
Yeah. And even with the Lord's Supper, do this mm-hmm.
in remembrance.
Memory of me.
Remembrance of me.
Well, yeah.
Is that amazing? It's just,
this all comes together.
I have never, I mean, when God began to reveal to me the importance of remembrance, I have never been able to do a single Bible reading or Bible study or devotional without reflecting on remembrance.
Well, you know, you mentioned communion. I remember I used to take communion without a thought, you know, but after I accepted, you know, Jesus as my Lord and Savior, it just has a different meaning. You know, I mean, you think about what he did for us. You think about his blood. You think about, you know, it used to be I just would cry through it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I know we tried to sit down and watch, what's the
one?
Tell me.
What's
the video?
I know. It's Mel Gibson's.
Passion.
The Passion of Christ.
We got about 5 minutes into it.
It's
we're
hard.
I can't watch this today. We had to. It's just, it's heartbreaking. And especially as a mother, to even think about, you know, I mean, if your child gets a small boo-boo, how you hurt, you know, or, you know, what they have to endure. It's just like, I can't do this.
No, I know. I'm so with you. I actually, the Passion, for 2 weeks, I felt like my best friend died. I mean, I just, I was low after. I know he has risen, but that play, movie, whatever, was a visual that I can't put into my mind because I am a very visual person. And so it's not one I can do because it hurts too much. And so that is a form of remembrance. There are different forms of way. I mean, you've listed worship with song, remembrance in video, remembrance in radio, audio, remembrance through reading. Do you see how all of these are different tools that we use to proclaim the truth of who our Lord is? And it's amazing, you know, I mean, you think of puppetry, you think of actors, you think so many ways that we can use remembrance. I personally have plaques all over my house with scripture. You know, in my bathroom, I have the passage that says, be strong and courageous for my children so that when they're in the bathroom, they see that verse every day. In my kitchen, I have a plaque that says, nothing is greater than to see children who obey the Lord. There is no greater joy to see that because I want them to have that. And, you know, we use these as our tools to remind ourselves of who we are. Well, whose child am I? Well, Daddy, the King, great Lord Almighty, I'm his daughter. And I often will tell my children, you know, don't forget you're a rye. And a rye means that you are a believer of Jesus Christ and that you will honor him in every action, word, and deed when I'm not going to be with him because I want them to remember.
Right. And when Steve was so sick, I used to write little notes so he'd remember what God has done for him.
That's awesome. That's a good way to do it. It is. We're so glad you've been listening to Cultivating Hearts. You have to come back because next week we're going to talk about challenging you to create your own stones of remembrance. God bless.